Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, Johnny. How are you doing?
Good.
Do we have a special guest? I've been so excited for you to get another special guest with this subject. Do we have her here?
Karen Wilson. We have Karen Wilson, self-development trainer. And why don't you explain this title a little bit and what got you started?
Hi, Karen. Welcome to
Life
Happiness. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here tonight talking to both of you.
Yes, please do tell us your title. I thought you were, didn't you tell me we have a psychologist on?
Well, she does it's sort of a psychological thing is what she does. But
Let me explain it. I think that would be the best thing.
Okay.
I took training to become a trainer for a particular self-development training course. And in this training course, we do use some psychology as well as some coaching and some meditation. And it's a combination of different modalities. And using all of those, what we do is we help people to discover what their core wounds are. And a core wound is something that you get in early childhood. It's an emotional trauma that happens to you. And once you've had an emotional trauma, it actually energetically sticks to you like glue and becomes part of your energy in your body, and it actually causes you to change your behavior. And once you change your behavior, the body and the mind are trying to protect you from whatever that trauma was so you don't go through it again. But the way your behavior changes, you actually attract more.
Yes.
And it just gets worse over time. And so I felt, based on my own history, my own story, and what I went through, that I had been trying to get to the bottom of why I was behaving the way I was and attracting the people I was attracting. And I really thought I had peeled all the layers of the onion and gotten down to the bottom, and I hadn't. And then a friend of mine, Barbie Layton, and her two friends co-founded this company, The Infinity Life. And last year, they opened the company, and they had a beta test training, and she offered me to be one of the trainees. And I jumped on the chance because I really felt that there was still more work to do on myself. So
I love this. Now I understand what you do. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. And so I was so thrilled with the results that I got from the training that I felt that I really wanted to share this with everybody in the world, because everybody has core wounds. And people go about it in many, many different ways, trying to figure it out, trying to get help. And most of the trainings are not as efficient or as effective as this training. And when you go through it, it's only 8 weeks. But because of the way the training is constructed, the methodology that you use to practice on yourself every day and also with other people in the training group, it really gets results. And I give you a fabulous example.
I would love this. Karen, before you go on, I want to ask a quick question about it, because you said we could have these traumatic experiences that attach to us from childhood, but can we have them as early as just coming out of the womb, like babyhood?
You can have them before you come out of the womb. I did.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Okay. Wow.
Absolutely. because, see, you're physically in your mother's body. You're there. If she's experiencing anger or tremendous emotional trauma while you're in her womb, so are you. And it's imprinting in you emotionally before you even come out. I'll give you a great example of that, and then I'll give you the other example I was going to give you. When I was born, my mother was so unhappy at being pregnant, she felt that I was a punishment from God. And when I was born, she didn't want me. And she acted in that way. And I was a bubbly, little, bright, loving thing. I was born, you know, bouncy and bubbly and full of light and
innocent.
Love. But by the time I was 3 years old, she had worn me down to a nub. And I was then really impacted by the negativity. And after she had my brother, who was not born healthy and was constantly being whisked off to the hospital every night with asthmatic attacks where he would stop breathing and I was left alone all the time, I didn't get any more attention. And I really felt betrayed, that I wasn't good enough. And my father switched his allegiance to my brother right away when he was born because I wasn't a boy. He finally had a boy. So there was a whole lot of complicated emotions that I went through, but I wasn't wanted. And I was treated as such, and I was basically ignored. And so none of my emotional needs were met. And I grew up with that. Yeah.
And that's a big one. That is a big one, the emotional. Wow.
Yes.
And so do you teach people how to find these things? Because I have a few that I'm thinking, yeah, that probably is affecting me. I remember that. But there's some other things that I haven't really explored. Wow. How do you do that? I'm sure you're going to explain. Wow. This is so exciting.
Well,
right?
Thank
I love
you.
It.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You can get rid of your hang-ups. You know, a person can get rid of their hang-ups. That they don't just bother other people.
Yes.
They bother themselves. They hold the person back.
And see, that's the whole thing. You're in your own way. And you don't realize it. Most people don't have a clue they're in their own way. And so when they come to this training, and Jonathan has my website where you can set up a 15-minute to a 30-minute meeting with me to talk about whether or not you would like to sign up for this.
Okay,
and
shout
that's
it out right now.
Donnie, shout out her website right now.
The website is meetkarenwilson.com, and it's https://meetkarenwilson.com. You said that it had to be written a certain way so that people could connect to it.
Right.
Yeah.
When I clicked on meetkarenwilson.com, I got hundreds of Meet Karen Wilsons all over the world. If you type in the https://, first, then it goes right to my website.
And the link is on our
website. Did you say two S's? Because I know that makes a difference. Are you saying HTTPSS or one S?
No, just one S. Just one S.
Okay.
HTTPS. :// meetkarenwilson.com.
Okay.
And I would really love to tell you the process of the program.
I would love to. We would love to hear it. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you both. When you sign up, what happens is you schedule a meeting with me. And the meeting is your one-on-one session. This is your discovery session. And I'm trained to actually help you to discover what your core wounds and unmet needs are. Everybody has them. And they're secondary wounds because of the first wound. It's sort of like tree roots. You know, you have the big root and then you have the offshoots. So you have different wounds and you have your unmet needs. And that's what we do in the first session. We discover what those are. Then I actually teach you in the first session, number one, I teach you how to connect with the light. And everybody has the light. We're all, you know, people, we're all souls. We all have the light. And it doesn't matter if you're religious or you're not religious. It's a wonderful process, and it helps you to feel grounded with your own energy. And then once I've taught you that, then I teach you the process, the daily process that you go through to actually clear the energies out of your body that you've been storing for your whole life. And then once you've cleared them, then I also teach you how to do a tapping routine. Tapping is the emotional freedom technique, and it's used to help you if you have an emotional response to the training. So if it brings up strong emotions for you, which it could, then you do a tapping round, and then those settle down, because what it does is it works with the parasympathetic nervous system, and it calms it. And it actually separates the story from the response. So you don't get the fight-flight syndrome kicking in with the adrenaline and the, you know, fear and all that stuff. It just calms you right down, and it's marvelous. And so then, you know, after you've had all of your training, then I turn you loose to go practice with yourself on a daily basis, and you practice for 8 weeks. Now, the other part is you actually will have other people in the cohort with you. So you get to practice with other people, and you start that in the first week. You get brave, and you just get with somebody in the group, and you just say, hey, let's practice. And you each practice on the other person, and you help each other by doing that, because people have wisdom and insights for other people. And I'll give you an example of that, and it was the example I was going to give you before. But once you've done that once a week for 8 weeks, then you're given the opportunity to graduate and just have the training for yourself. Or at the six-week mark, if you feel confident, we'll teach you how to do the discovery session so you can graduate as a trainer and then help other people.
There's opportunity, too. That is really cool.
Yes.
That's a great incentive as well.
Yes, there's a
spreading
lot of
the love.
Spreading
good,
yes.
Too. I mean, it's all
yes.
Good every which way you look. This is amazing. I can see why you're passionate about it. And I
Thank
would
you.
Love to do a discovery. How long does that take to do on a person?
The discovery session that I was talking about in the training, once you've signed up, is 2 hours.
Okay.
Because remember, you're not just getting the discovery, you're also getting the training on how to do it.
So
but
where
there is,
do you hold these?
I just do them on Zoom. I go right into your house with you. You just
I
are
like
on
that.
Zoom, and I'm on Zoom, and we just talk on Zoom, and it's very safe. You don't have to worry about being in person or traveling or anything else, and it's just done right in the privacy of your own home.
You don't have to pay for
you
gas.
To pay for gas. and on the website, we have a discovery phone call as to whether or not you feel like the process would be good for you. That was the only other discovery I wanted to make.
Okay,
that.
I like that. Just so you don't
yeah.
go down a path that it's not right for you and waste any time
exactly.
for yourself. That is
exactly.
so nice. Yes.
Exactly.
Cool.
And I'd love to give you the example I mentioned.
Sure.
And that is when I was working with my partner in the training, when I was in the training, she had some issues, and she had lost her father when she was only 4, and he had taken his life, and she never got over it because she felt that he didn't love her enough to stay.
Yes.
And during that training, I got the insight, because I'm intuitive, and, you know, most people have intuition, and it shows up for them, and they don't even realize they have it. But I got this intuition that it wasn't about her. It was about him, that it was about his pain being too much for him, and that it was so intense for him that he couldn't stay. But then what I did was I said to her, after we got through the practice session and she did the clearing of the energy and so forth, I said to her, now what I want you to do is I want you to, with your eyes closed, I want you to imagine that your father
standing behind you, putting his arms around you. And he's hugging you. And he's telling you that he loves you. And he misses you. And he will never forget that you are his daughter. And she was able, with that image, to feel his arms around her. And she could feel the love. And you can imagine how that helped her.
I can feel the love right now.
Because she was able to shift, yes. She could shift into that and realize it wasn't about her. And she could embrace the love from him, and that got her over it in one session, Barbara.
A completely different perspective that they actually may have thought about, but didn't allow themselves to understand, didn't know how to open up, understand it. You guided her through that whole thing, and it was simple when they're feeling these things. To them, it's not simple, is it?
No,
until you fix them.
It totally freed her in one moment. And she's in her late 40s, and she was carrying that since she was 4.
Oh, wow. Of course, yes.
That's so
I have so many examples. I have so many examples, and everybody out there who's listening probably can, you know. Like, I was pregnant with my daughter, and, well, I had her. Her dad held her. She was almost 2, and then he was killed. And you never think, she doesn't remember. But what is the impact of her going to school, and she's the only one who doesn't have a dad? I was always aware of that and, you know, watching to make sure she was okay. But you might feel alienated. And she did ask one time, you know.
And I have
and
so a comment
known
that I want to
her
make
whole
sure
life.
You're done saying what you're going to say.
Okay, but I think she's fine. She doesn't seem to want help. But what about me? I have all these hang-ups. What if I don't know where they came from? You would help me find out where by asking me what are some things that happened to you? Okay, cool. I love that. How long does it take? You said 2 hours.
Yeah, see, sometimes it doesn't matter where they actually came from. What matters is that you have it, and now you can work on releasing it because it's stuck in you.
Oh, good.
We can help
you don't have
you
to really find
it. Right.
You don't have to find
and
the root is not important.
No, you don't necessarily have to. Now, I've been to other trainings where I've learned how to discover when did I get this, who did I get it from, how old was I, and where is it stuck in my body. And that is a different training. But this training, the important part is to find out what you have and how to release it so that you're free of it. And that was why I was telling you about my co-trainees' experience. I've had lots of those. They're very emotional for me because I'm sitting there watching this person get it. The light bulb goes on. They shift out of that place, and they're a new person. And
well, you're changing
the
their
purpose.
Life.
Yes.
But
they're doing
this. This is my question.
But they're doing
this is
the
my
work.
Question.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I ask now, or are you?
Of course.
Well,
go right ahead.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. I mean, how thrilling to have a career now where you feel those things all the time in life. I mean, that's true living, I would think. So go ahead, John.
Yeah.
It's funny. This is sort of leading into the question, but, you know, I was at my uncle's house. We were at relative's house, and his daughter just had a baby, you know, and I was always wondering, you know, here is this baby that's only a couple days old. Obviously the baby is alive, but what information is it taking in? I mean, it's not going to remember it when it gets older. What information is it taking in? And, you know, how does a baby that's 4 days old or a couple of days old, and you're saying that it's getting trauma even at that stage. I will tell you this, though. The one thing that I will say is that a baby cannot logically interpret things that are not supposed to be traumatic as being – it's sort of – you understand what I'm saying? It's like, for example, okay, here's a good example. if a baby sees you and then sees you not there, then the baby needs to know that you're the object permanence. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's
let
like.
Me just speak to that. I'll speak to that. Okay. When a baby is born, they don't have any logical capabilities at all. That doesn't kick in until they're around 7. All they have is emotion, and they are absorbing everything around them like a sponge. Everybody's behavior, everybody's whatever they say and do, and the baby sees it, feels it, hears it, and absorbs it. So the baby's absorbing everything, including trauma. Now, babies experience, okay, the mom walked away. They start crying because that's traumatic for them. When the mom comes back, they stop crying because they know the mom didn't leave. But if the mom doesn't come back, that's a permanent trauma until they can release it. And if they can't release it because they don't know how, then they're stuck with that for the rest of their life.
Because it's never been released. Oh, that makes perfect sense. That's a great way to explain it, I think. Very good way. Because when the mother walked away and never came back, they never were relieved of that trauma.
Nope. And I have a perfect example. My father, and let me tell you part of my story because I think that's a really important thing for you guys to hear and for your audience. When I was little, as I had told you, my father became very happy with a son, and I was basically ignored. When my father and mother started having marital problems, they ignored us even more. And they broke up when I was 15. But they lived in separate domiciles, and my father wanted me to come and live with him, and I couldn't because I had my mother had a baby when I was 13, my youngest brother, and I had to take care of him for her. I was already the babysitter, so I couldn't go. So he started acting as if I was worthless and he didn't care about me anymore. And he had already been treating me like that, so it was really painful. And then eventually, when we moved out after the divorce happened, my mother moved in with her boyfriend and I was left by myself in the apartment taking care of my littlest brother.
Okay.
And I didn't have any parental guidance. And I started hanging around with the wrong people. And eventually, I got pregnant. And I was 17 years old when I got pregnant. And the first thing my parents did, when I didn't tell them right away because I was terrified to admit it to myself, but when I finally did tell them, they both kicked me out.
Oh,
and
God.
Here I am. I'm a 17-year-old who has no knowledge of how to support herself, and I'm pregnant, and they've kicked me out. And my father wanted me to get abortion, and I refused because at that point I was 5 months along, and to me, that's a baby. So I said no. So I went to New York because I was living in Connecticut with my parents. I went to New York to the guy who made me pregnant, and he was living in an apartment. He was a Vietnam War vet, and at the time I didn't know he was suffering from PTSD because I didn't even know what that was. But after staying with him for a short while, he said, I'm sorry, I just can't handle this. You need to leave.
Oh,
so
wow.
There I am. I'm pregnant, and now I'm homeless. Now, my mother's first cousin lived 20 blocks away from where he was. And here I am. I gathered my few little things, and I walked 20 blocks. And I had my pants closed with a big clothespin because, or a safety pin because they didn't fit together anymore. And when I got to my mother's first cousin, whom I shall call my aunt, and I told her what happened. She took me in, and she had a three-bedroom apartment, and it was on the first floor above ground. And in the back room, my uncle's father was dying, and the other two rooms were my cousin's rooms, and then my aunt and uncle had their bedroom. I got the ornately carved wooden duck handles, helped in the house with the chores, and I stayed there until I gave birth. And when I gave birth, they dropped me off at the hospital at 2:00 in the morning and said, bye. And that was
God.
It. I found myself in a very sterile, enormous hospital room with ceramic tile floors with a drain in the middle and a bunch of steel shelving and some tables, and all by myself. And I was in pain from labor pains, and I was terrified, and I didn't know what was going to happen to me. So that's where my story happened, because I was supposed to have that child, and he was supposed to be in the world today. But I went through a veritable hell during those few years. And once I gave birth, I had to move into my grandmother's house for 3 weeks and recover, and then I had to go to work. And I didn't have the first clue on how to do it.
And then
so
all
I
of
had
the
a lot
childcare
of trauma.
Is so hard. A lot.
Huh? Well, I
a
had to give
trauma,
my baby
Lisa.
I gave my baby up for adoption because
that
I looked
so
at
traumatic
my life.
Too.
Well, yes, but I looked at my life and said, my parents are dysfunctional. They're not going to help me with this child. I need to work, and I don't want them babysitting. The best thing for this child is to have two parents that really want it. And I gave my baby up for adoption, and if you don't think that's traumatic to have to hand your child to a stranger, and in New York, that's the law. You have to hand your child to the adopting parent voluntarily. So I had some trauma to clear.
Oh, it's devastating. I mean, you probably loved your baby. You just, that is a hard decision. I have a half-brother that, you know, he came to me at 18. He says, I'm your brother, you know. I'm glad that my dad didn't have his girlfriend 16 years after me, you know, get an abortion, because he's great. He's cool. Now I have another brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are you glad you weren't aborted? And he goes, yes, I am so glad. And we were laughing, but it's true. You know, I'm so glad you did that. Okay,
yes,
I'm glad you
deserved,
did that, even though
it was
so harmful, I mean, hurtful. Did you meet your child ever? Did they come and try to find you?
No, but, you know, I'm in California, and I've been here since I was 21 years old, and I had the baby when I was 18 in New York. So sure that he could find me. And during my lifetime, I tried to find him several times, but not having a lot of money, I couldn't hire a detective, and I couldn't pay to have all these records released. And of course, those were private records because it was a private adoption, so I couldn't find out where he was or anything. So I was really not able to find him. And then finally, with the internet, I was able to find online adoption websites and go on those. And I did sign up for a few, but I didn't find him. And in 2018, I was sitting at the kitchen table and my inner guidance told me to get on the web. And I found another website that I hadn't been on. And I signed up, and 36 people's files came up because there were 36 of them that sort of fit. And the very tippy top one had his actual birthday. And I said to myself, oh my God, I'll bet you that's him. And as it turns out, I messaged all of them. And the next morning he messaged me and asked me my maiden name. And I was like, oh, my God, he knows who I am. He knows he was adopted and what my name is. And I was just freaking out. And so I texted him back, you know, messaged him back, and I told him. And he came back with, we have a match. We need to talk.
Oh,
and
wow.
My hair just stood up because I had been searching for him for so many years, and I had never really expected to find him. And there he was.
Right
and
on top.
We started talking on the phone. He called me, and we just couldn't stop talking, and we talked and talked, and we kept talking for that month. And
wow. How old was he at this time?
He was 48 when I found him. And
oh,
that was
wow.
4 years
so
ago.
Long.
Oh, my gosh. I was thinking he was 18 or something. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You were blessed in the end, though.
Yes. But here's the thing. I had gone on Ancestry.com and done my DNA thinking maybe he was on there. And because if there's a match, they notify you. And I told him right away that I had done that, and he ordered the test. And 3 weeks later, the results came back that he was definitely my son. And so my husband and I got on tickets for a red eye, and we went to meet him. We flew on the weekend of Labor Day in 2018 on Friday night to New York, and we were both exhausted because, you know, how do you sleep on a plane? And then you have to change planes at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know.
And
we did meet him. What did you say, yeah. Jonathan?
And you're about to meet your son.
Yeah, you're excited.
Yes, exactly. And so we went to the hotel, and we kind of freshened up, and then he showed up, and he had a bouquet of flowers for me, which was beautiful. And we spent the afternoon at a deli just sitting and trying to eat. Neither of us could eat. Our stomachs were flip-flopping, but we talked. And we held hands, and we talked, and we just sat there. And finally, when it got late in the afternoon, he took us back to the hotel, and we had a little nap. I couldn't sleep, of course. And then we got freshened up and dressed, and he came back with my two grandchildren.
Oh, my gosh.
No way. Wow. Oh, this is crazy.
And
his girlfriend and her child, and we all went out to eat. So I got to meet my grandchildren, beautiful kids, 8 and 10 years old. And then we spent, you know, the evening with them, and we went back to the room and went to sleep. And the next morning he came back with just the two kids, and we went to breakfast. And then, you know, we spent that time with them. And then he took us to the airport, and we went home.
Wow.
And
but he kept coming back. He loved you. He felt comfortable with you. He did more and more with you with the kids. So did he look like you?
He looks like me, yes. And the kids, there's a family resemblance that's very strong. And it was really funny because when I first got a hold of him that day after we discovered that we had a match, I sent him pictures. He looks like my grandfather. And the kids look like... The girl looks like me from, you know, when she was young, I was young, and the boy looks like my father. And it was just amazing to see the pictures and how much they looked alike. And even his girlfriend was just blown away.
But even the children, and the children, his children, it even helps them to know, really, where did you come from? Oh, now I've seen my grandfather. Now I've seen my great-grandfather. You know, it's something very special. I'm sure they feel like you are just such a blessing to them now.
Actually, I don't really know that they do, because we really, even though we kept in touch, his father was still alive, his adopted father, and his adopted mother had already passed on, and his adopted father was in his 90s, and he felt that he didn't want his adopted father to feel like he wasn't wanted anymore. So he actually backed off of the relationship and just kept it at the text level. And we've kept in touch, but it's at arm's length. And the only time I ever get to talk to him on the phone is at Christmas. He'll have the kids on the phone, and they'll call me. And that's it. You know, we don't talk on the phone anymore. Yes. So I really think that he felt... And I really, really feel this, that he has a core wound, that he was abandoned. Because when he was told that he was adopted, he was only 8. And that's when his adopted mother died.
Do you think that's too young? And that was two traumas right there. Okay, that wasn't really my mom, and now she's gone. And now, trying to put that together. Wow.
And his identity.
And you're 8.
And his identity.
Yes.
So
totally.
Not only did he lose his mother, but he lost his identity, and he was only 8 years old, and he was very angry. So he has a core wound, and that's dictating his behavior. And I can't allow the relationship to be what it is and be grateful I'm in touch with him, that I know who he is, that I know where he lives, that I have his phone number, that I have his email, and that I can connect with him. And so I have to be grateful for that. But when I talk to the kids, oh, you're my father's real mother. And they don't call me grandmother. They have
so
a grandma.
Somebody got in there. Somebody got in there and put a wrench in it, and I think it's the grandpa.
No, the grandpa never knew about me. He didn't tell his father, and then his father died. So his father never knew he found me. And I don't
but
think
his girlfriend
that anybody
was
no, no, I don't think anybody put it. A wrench in it. I think the kids were already connected to their mother's parents. And I think that that's who they think of as grandma and grandpa, and that we're just sort of strangers. And they're very, like most children, they're very quiet, and they don't really share about what they're feeling. And my son is a very closed person. So being that way, behavior from him, because, you know, they don't have a mother. They have his girlfriend, but she's not always there, you know. So I think that eventually we'll get close, and it's just going to take time. And see, I also have to visit. I haven't been back for 4 years because of COVID, and it's expensive, and, you know, all of those things. So I think once we start
visiting
again.
Did the girlfriend and your son get married?
That may happen. And I hope so, because I want him to be happy. But, you know, at this moment, we're not that close. And, you know, that's something I just have to allow to be what it is. So, but again, it goes back to the core wound. It goes right back to the core wound.
I hope
you
can get that info to him. But too bad he backed off. But, oh, it's so strange why, although watching my half-brother, when he found me, I was the one on the letter. I don't know why. And then he was going to call his birth mother. Well, that's Marilyn. That's my dad's girlfriend from 30 years ago. I haven't seen her. You know, wow. Okay, I was in high school. We lived with her. He got her pregnant. I went to be a flight attendant. Whatever, you know. So I don't know her very well, but I found out she was not receiving this boy well. And he never felt comfortable to ever call her again. So it's strange how each individual person acts so differently in this situation.
You know, it's really true. I've talked to some people who were looking for their parents who gave them up. And the parent wouldn't acknowledge them. The parent didn't want to know. And I know my son's, the father of my son, the guy who got me pregnant, he would never acknowledge that that baby was his. He didn't want to know. He didn't care. He didn't. And even when I found my son, I contacted him because my girlfriend helped me find him. And I contacted him. He wouldn't even answer my calls or my emails. Nothing. Because he has a life now. And he's embarrassed. And he doesn't want anybody to know what he did.
He's ashamed.
Yeah. Yeah,
he just
took
off. He didn't take care of you or his child. Why would he want to show his face? There's no way he's going to. He's ashamed, definitely.
Of course. Of course. Mm. So, you
did
know,
you tell your son about that?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
did
your son want to know all about that?
Well, see, at that point, he felt like he already has a dad. And, you know, he spent most of his life with his dad. So he doesn't really need to know about his real biological father. And if his real biological father isn't even willing to talk to him or being interested in him, why should he bother?
Well,
so,
I was just thinking of another thing. Karen, wouldn't it would be cool if he was a person who, okay, his mother died, but then God gave him a mother. You are another mother. But that's such a blessing.
Yes.
I can't believe he pulled back. I don't like that. That's sad. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. You have your feelings. Don't apologize. That's perfectly normal to have feelings. And see, underneath, I really believe he has anger. And he never got past it. He thinks he did. But I don't think he did. I think he's angry that I left, and it made him feel like he wasn't worthy to be kept as a child. And so I think that is his core wound, amongst other things, who knows what else. And that's stepping in the way. But see, the other thing is, when I met him, I had 48 years of pent-up emotions and affection that I wanted to share, and I couldn't stop hugging him and giving him kisses. He's
right.
Not a huggy, silly, touchy person. I think it makes him feel very threatened.
I have a question. Sorry, go on.
Sure.
Well, you know, it's funny. I read in the autobiography of George Foreman, and I'm actually emailed pen pals with him. We're good friends. And he said that the reason all of his kids are named George, I don't know if you know this, Barbara, but he named them all George because he wanted them to know who their father was. He never knew who his real father was. Now, he had a stepfather, but he never knew his real father. He went to his real father's funeral, but he didn't feel like he was going to his father's funeral. It felt like he was going to a friend's funeral. And,
a stranger.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, you hear that he named all his kids George. That's why. Because there should be, he didn't want there to be any question. You can know that, Barbara?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. I don't know if I'm... Who was this that named the kids George?
George Foreman.
Oh.
That's why he did that.
The wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get it either.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why. He wanted them all to know exactly who their father was.
Well, that's great. At least that's something he thought about, you know? Some people don't.
Yeah.
But I think every problem in the world, all the people's problems all stem back to when they were little and they were traumatized in some emotional way and they have a core wound that they've never acknowledged or understood or been able to release, and that is dictating their behavior. And I wanted to tell you something else about this training, which I haven't mentioned, which is really important. There was a doctor. He was an MD and a PhD. His name is David Hawkins, and he wrote several books, but one of the first books he wrote was called Power Versus Force. And in this book, he detailed all the research he did about emotions, and they each have a frequency, an energy frequency, and they can be measured. And one of the things that we learn in the training is how to measure our frequency so we know where we are on the scale, on the chart. And therefore, we can tell what emotion is in charge of us. And then when we go through the training, the process teaches you how to release those stuck emotions in your body. That's also energy. And when you release the stuck emotions, your energy level shifts upward. And you go upward on the scale of emotions because your frequency goes up. When your frequency goes up, you're operating in a higher place, a happier place, a place where you feel good about yourself. People are attracted to you based on your frequency, based on their frequency. So if you're operating in a frequency of anger or shame or grief or fear, you're going to be operating in the lower frequencies, and you're going to attract people who are operating in those same areas.
And you're
going to
stay there.
That's it. And you're stuck there until you fix it. So here's the kicker. Have you ever heard of anybody who complains about, I can't stop attracting these really bad men. They treat me badly. I break up with them. The next guy does the same thing, one after another. They just can't stop attracting the wrong boyfriends. That's because they're attracting from their frequency. And the people they're attracting are the same as they are or very close to it in frequency. But when you change your frequency because you release the energy from the bad emotion that you were carrying, you start attracting from the higher frequencies. You start attracting people that are more like that and nicer and kinder and more loving. And you can attract better relationships and you can attract better opportunities for work and whatever else in your life that you need. But the beautiful part about it is that you've raised your frequency. Dr. Hawkins found that when you raise your frequency, you affect 750,000 people around you. And
oh,
they proved
wow.
it. They proved it. You got to hear this. This is amazing. They took people like yogis from India who are used to meditating and connecting with the oneness of all. You've heard that. You've heard about
oh, yeah.
yogis that do that, right? Okay.
Yes.
So they would take yogis and they would invite them to come to a high crime city. And they know how much crime they have. They have a scale and it's a percentage and what have you. Then they would have the yogi sit down in the middle of the city and meditate 5 hours. And every single time, the crime rate dropped enormously because
Look.
They're affecting all those people. Because love, which is what the vibration is that the yogi is sending out when he's meditating, love is what is the antidote to all the rest. And so the love vibration is going out and it's settling everybody down and they don't perform any crime because they don't feel the anger or whatever.
How many yogis?
Before.
How many yogis?
They've
were
done
doing
this
it?
So many times. I can't tell you. I heard about this years before I ever found out about this course. It's something that has been done over and over again, but it's documented. If you read the book Power versus Force, it's in there, but it's documented. And it's amazing because what happens is love is an energy on the frequency scale. It's 500 and higher. So if you're in anger, you're only at 150. Or if you're in shame, say you were abused as a child, there have been a lot of those. And let's say you've been carrying that secret all your life. You're functioning at 20 on the scale. You're nowhere
why,
even near
hiding,
100.
Why is the hiding something that you feel guilty about
right.
or ashamed about?
Right, right. Well, guilt, guilt is 30. Shame is 20, guilt is 30. But I can tell you that if you go through the course, and you release your core wound, the goal is for you to get over 500. And you can then test yourself. And we use applied kinesiology, muscle testing, to test everything because the body knows the truth. It doesn't lie.
Muscle testing.
So muscle testing, yes, muscle testing.
Yeah, frequency.
That's a familiar term.
Frequency.
Right,
yeah,
Barbara?
I'm sorry. Johnny and I know about this. Because we had this one, she was a medium, come on, and she would say, your frequency is really good tonight. She would test the frequency,
yes.
but never explained
yes.
it. So thank you for explaining it. And then she would also do the muscle
sure.
testing, which she did teach me, which I love this. I love the muscle testing, and it does really work.
It does. It really does. And so that's part of the training. We teach you how to muscle test. And then you test your own frequency every day. You measure where you are. You do the process of the practice on yourself, and then you test again. And you not only test your energy level, but you can test. You have 7 main energy centers in your body, and you can test whether or not they're open. Because if they're not open, the energy's not flowing, and you have to work on releasing the core wounds to open them. So that's where the practice is very fascinating, because if you measure yourself and you ask your body, where is my frequency right now? And if you know how to muscle test, you can do that. All you have to do is ask your body, where is my frequency right at this moment? And then you start, am I at 100? Am I at 200? Am I at 300? Et cetera. You'll find out where you are. And what David Hawkins wrote, that he measured the frequency of everybody on the planet as an average, everybody's under 200.
Wow.
And there's a very small population of people that have gotten above that. Now, I'm one of them, and I do my process every day, and I measure my frequency, and typically I'm over 1,000 because I know how to release
you do
the energies.
Good vibes. I must say you do.
you
really do good vibes. Yes.
Thank you. That's really kind. I appreciate that. So, and my goal is to help as many people as I possibly can release their core wounds and allow themselves to raise their frequencies by clearing themselves so that they can have a better life, so they can like themselves, feel confident in themselves, feel good about themselves, get out of the bed in the morning feeling happy, happy to go to work, happy to have the relationship they have, attract better people, better jobs. That's my goal. Goal of the company is to raise the frequency on the planet. And
Barbara,
we can actually do that.
I don't know why it just
amazing.
Dropped that. It was the weirdest thing, and I called back. Now I feel like I've missed something, Karen, but I hope that I didn't really interrupt too much by dropping off.
Well, you didn't miss much, and I'll just tell you again, and that's fine. I'm sure your listeners won't mind.
Okay.
When you raise your frequency, hold on one second. We're getting the siren going by. When you raise your frequency, you're a happier person. You feel better about yourself. You have more self-esteem. You have more confidence. You get out of bed in the morning feeling happy to be alive. And then you're attracting better people, better relationships in your life, so you can be happier in your relationships, whether it be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a marriage partner, whatever. And then you're attracting better opportunities in your jobs. So your whole life changes. Everything changes for the better. My goal is to help as many people as I can to do that. Because every time I see someone shift from one place of negativity to another place of positivity, I feel so fabulous. I feel so fulfilled because I feel like I have helped someone and I feel great. And I want to just keep doing that. But the desire and goal of the founders of the company is to raise the frequency on the whole planet.
Cool.
And it only takes 8 million people to do that. Because think of the effect. Yeah. Think of the effect of you affect 750,000 people around you when you raise your frequency. All it takes is 8 million to raise the frequency on the whole planet.
That's not that many.
So that's our – no, it's not. And how many people would benefit from feeling better about themselves and understanding why they haven't been able to attract the right relationship or the right job or whatever, or why they attracted supervisors that bully them?
Well, everybody would want to take
this.
Is it expensive, these treatments, these classes and treatments?
No,
are they expensive?
It's not a treatment. No, it's not a treatment. It's a course. It's got one course fee, and that's it. It's about $735. And it can be paid out in payments. Or if somebody wants to, they can just pay it all at once. But it's only an 8-week course. And all of that gets you started on the new path. And then you just keep practicing the rest of your life. You do that every day, and your life changes.
I bet it does.
And how wonderful would it be for you to know why you do things the way you do them. Maybe you don't like what you do and you don't understand why you do it. You have this bad habit of blah, blah, blah.
To the core of things quickly then, because Some people might be so stuck. They might be so stuck. They don't know why they do anything, and they don't remember any trauma. Wow. But it sounds like you could find it. You personally could find it. You are so passionate about it. You're so good with this. And not only that, I love how this course does give a person the opportunity to keep doing it, because I think it's addictive and it's something that people get a passion for after they complete the course, and they want to share it, right? So then you're giving them the opportunity to become a trainer.
Yes, and like it's like a whole new life opens up for them, and they have a whole new lease on life, if you've ever heard that expression, because they now have some happiness, and it's motivation to go forward, to do more things for themselves and for others around them, and to help others. Maybe some people aren't motivated to be trainers, and they just are happy with the course. Some people want to be trainers and help others. It just depends on the person. So it's really a beautiful opportunity, because there is a financial opportunity to being a trainer, of course. You don't do it for free. And, you know, it's a beautiful way to change your life. And, yes, finding out what's been in your way is really exciting. Really exciting.
It got me excited. I am so into this. I love all this, and I'm so glad to see that scientists and just people who are researching this kind of thing are going so deep now and getting scientific proof of these wonderful natural things that they are actually working.
Yes, and this is the only training of its kind. There is no other training on the planet that does this.
Was it hard to find this course?
Well, no. I happen to be very lucky that my girlfriend is the co-founder.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And having known her, it's called the Infinity Life.
Okay.
I don't think we ever said
the title, Johnny. We've never even said the Infinity of Life.
The infinity life. Because see, you're looking to get your frequency up to infinity.
And the advancements of the mind and working with our minds and knowing how to, plus the advancements of our natural ways of staying more healthy with foods and our exercise and all that. Those combined. They say within, I don't know, you might know, how many generations until we are living till 150? It's not that far away.
No, I don't know the answer to that, to be honest, but I agree with you. It isn't that far away. But I do want to encourage you to go to any of your listeners, to go to my meetkarenwilson.com website. Make sure you put the https://... in front of it, and you can sign up directly for the course on my website. There's a link.
Oh, cool.
If you want to talk to me, you can sign up for the course, and you can also sign up for a discovery call with me. You get a half an hour to talk to me. There's also an email if you want to email me. There's some options there, but you can sign right up for the course right on my website.
That's wonderful. Well, I am so happy for you. I'm so happy that you found this and that it led to so many wonderful things. And you're going to leave this earth with all your answers. You know, you won't have to wonder what your son was like. You know, you met him again, that is a miracle. Mm-hmm.
It is a miracle. It's a complete miracle. And I had been asking and asking and asking all my life for God to put him in my path. And then it happened. God did that.
Wow.
God performed a miracle for me. And I am really grateful, and it was one of the happiest days of my life. But with this practice, I feel that I have finally found my purpose, and that is to help other people to find themselves. And this is the most fulfilling, rewarding, career I could have ever found for me. And I'm thrilled to help others. I love it.
Well, you found your purpose. That is the main thing really there. You found your purpose, your passion. So many people don't have a passion. Well, check this out, this course, The Infinity Life. You can sign right up on Karen Wilson's website, meetkarenwilson.com. Don't forget to type in before https://2directly. Get to Karen. And wow, this was an amazing show. I learned so much. I feel invigorated. And I must say that
awesome.
I wanted to take a nap, and I didn't. I got on this show with you, Karen, and I feel invigorated. I'm not kidding. Your energy is amazing. Thank you for sharing
Thank you.
With us. Yes.
Thank you.
And I'm sure Johnny.
One last thing.
Johnny,
yes.
What was that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy one last comment? One last comment, if I might make it. I'm also going to be featured in a book this November. I'm writing a chapelation book with the theme of forgiveness, which, of course, you can understand why I would be writing that. And it's coming out this November, and I'm going to be posting the link for the book on my website.
Awesome. Of course you're writing a book. Oh, my gosh. I just got a tiny taste of your life. There's so much more. And you know what? We all think, I'm going to change my perspective, and I'm not going to get mad with traffic today. And we go out there, and we notice, yeah, it was a little better. But can you imagine doing a course on solely this, diving in deep and really learning all of this valuable information? That's going to change your life. Totally going to change your life. So it's worth every penny. I am right behind you. I'm going to promote the heck out of it. I love it. I'm
going to
put your link. Yes, Karen. I'm going to put your link on the group that I've been doing a lot of posts on. I don't know if Johnny's been on there. It's our group, Life, Laughter, Happiness group on Facebook. And we're growing. It's a private group. So inside you feel comfortable, you know, to share. And Johnny has a page, Life, Laughter, Happiness, that he generally runs, and it's open. It's just for anybody to write anything, I think. Right, Johnny?
If you would like me to join, I would be happy to. Just send me the link.
I will. I'll send you an invite. Thank you so much. I will send you an invite. And then also, everybody can listen to this show again. It's right on Blog Talk Radio, Life, Laughter, Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we put some favorite shows up on our YouTube channel. So check those out, too.
Yeah.
Ooh,
okay.
Well, Karen's going to make it for her, don't you, Johnny?
What?
Karen's going to make the YouTube channel for sure, don't you think, Johnny?
Yes. Yes, I'll put her on the YouTube.
Awesome.
Ooh, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so
much. You are
welcome.
I can't wait to view your website, and I am excited to hear how more of these stories go, and maybe bring on some people that go through your course. That'd be interesting too.
Sure, and I'd be happy to come back as well, you know, with more stories. But thank you guys for having me. Oh my gosh, this was great. I really appreciate both of you. And I love what you do. I think it's fabulous that you give people an opportunity to share what's going on in their life, especially if they can help your listeners.
Yes, definitely. That's how we feel about what we do as well. So thank you, too, for your time and wonderful story and expertise and continued success, Karen Wilson. We loved it. So everybody,
thank
you for listening. And don't forget to stop by KarenWilson.com. Okay, have a great night.
Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome.
Good night, everyone.